there's something that's something is else is happening. I'm not sure what it is. I think what it is, is what we started to talk about last week, or the last time we met, which was 2 weeks ago. That it was only a domesticated animal that could be a suitable peace offering. And what does domesticated mean? And what does that mean to us? I mean, it couldn't just be a suitable peace offering. To be a suitable offering of any type, the birds had to be domesticated. The bull, the bullock, the oxen, the sheep, the lambs, the goats, whatever it was that was used in the sacrificial system for this picture that we look at to see more of Christ had to be domesticated. Now, it's obvious why that had to be, because the wild, undisciplined vessel was not a suitable sacrifice to the Father. But yet he didn't want something to be a milquetoast sacrifice. He didn't want something that was the human or the world's definition of meek. The spiritual definition of the word meek is one of the huge Clydesdale, is that what they're called? Clydesdale's horses that have all this massive power in a saddle, perfectly trained or disciplined. It's not to have a Shetland pony in a saddle. That's not meekness, and that's not disciplined. It's to have unbelievable power restrained. That's what domestication means. Unbelievable freedom restrained at will. Unbelievable danger, yet harmless. Domesticated.
Would that include the bulls and the, were they domesticated?
Mm-hmm. They were domesticated by being handled, but there could never, like with the, remember the ashes of the red heifer? The red heifer, there could never have been a yoke on the red heifer, not even so much as a blanket laid over its shoulders for the purposes of being ridden. But it had to have been domesticated to the extent that it came willingly to with the priesthood to for the sacrifice. Now, what does that mean to us? You have worked through, the act of discipline is the act of working through all the things that you think you want, knowing that you could have them and not caring whether you have them or not. It's the act of working through, as a body, all possible venues of service or of career or of ambition, and yet knowing that you probably could do something in it, but you have said no. It's purposed weakness, but purposed weakness in which strength could be there, but giving no breath or importance to that. It's There's a gentleness, but combined with terrible danger. It's having a pet lion, and yet the lion, you know, there's a worry that the lion may, there's a concern that he know that he had the power to whap you six ways from Sunday. Do you understand? That's what we are after as a body. That persona. I don't care what other people do. I don't care what other people teach. I don't care what other people say about this. I don't care if they think we're weird. But that's what we are about.
Yeah, see, that is the case for not fearing. A lot of times we are afraid to go after something because we're afraid we'll be self-seeking or afraid it'll be used against us or whatever. And there's fear to try something.
Yeah.
For religious reasons.
Or speak to somebody or
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but yeah, but you can go after. No, you may get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's the thing. The only common, from a spiritual standpoint, you know, we say this cliche that the only common denominator all of us have is that we're tired of acting and all that kind of stuff. But from God's standpoint, the only common denominator is enduring. Everything else is bullshit. They that endure till the end shall be saved. Endure what? Well, think of all the crappy, think of all the crazy stuff we've done. Think of how difficult and how weird it was when we started doing the feast and how we messed them all up and how we never got the fast quite right. You know, and you better believe that the people that are outside of us, if we are ever brought to light, they'll hold all that stuff against us. All that stuff will become charges. The firewalking will be a charge. It always has been. I mean, there'll be charges. There's always charges against you.
I understand what you said, firewalking.
We experimented with firewalking. We experimented with firewalking a few years ago.
It was great.
Some of us got it before.
We got it on tape.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Disciplined Harry's description of a hot seat is, I kind of like it right now. I didn't like it before, but it's being locked in a room with a caged timber wolf. Crazed timber wolf.
That's a Levite meeting.
Yeah.
If Joyce Anna is.
No, that doesn't count for anything.
You're right.
Anymore.
And her husband was there.
Well, that was the problem.
Yeah. I just, that thing about enduring being the only real reality, I think about at least a million times that I thought I wouldn't be able to, or I thought God couldn't do whatever this thing is I was confronted with at the time, that he could not deal with it. And, you know, just over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds of times, thinking that.
Yes. Hey, there was an interesting thing. Today, we started the handwriting lessons with the kids. And everything, it was like trying to put a bridle on a completely, wild bronco. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, Justin wants to hold the paper wrong, and Johnny wants to sit with his feet like this. And, I mean, you know, you can go all the way around the room, it's like all of them, they've got all these atrocious habits. You know, and I do too. I mean, I've never really learned.
Yeah, wait, but this—I was just going to mention something.
No, what? No, I'm learning.
Doug Duncan.
He wanted to teach it because.
Yeah, no. I mean,
I'm
putting
He's been practicing.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard.
It's pretty
hard. Yeah.
My stuff. I have to write like this big to do it right. But you know,
it's on that.
But it's like there wasn't a single one of them that didn't have a horrible problem with it. I mean, it was. You would have thought that I was asking them to do the hardest thing that anybody has ever asked them to do. No, I just wanted them to do an upstroke, you know, and then a pull down, you know, like you're gonna make an eye, and then we'll, you know.
Pretty rough.
And I mean, it was like World War III for about 45 minutes.
Was that layoff 2 weeks?
No, but it's the thing that they haven't been bridled. They haven't been disciplined in terms of how they write. They've all just, you know, learned to write crazy different ways.
Well, the focus of what this is, that my thought process is about, are the children, because they don't have a great deal of choice right now about enduring. I mean, they are under tutors and governors, and they don't have a choice as to whether or not they endure. It's sort of like David Pettyjohn, the guy that, the sort of semi-Levite that's working for us. No, he's worse than a semi. He has really no choice, you know. It's like he's got to be here or he's got to go to jail kind of thing. And with the kids, they don't have any choice. You know, they do, sort of, but not like Angela probably is getting to where she has a choice. But the rest of the kids really don't have a choice, whether they're around or endure or not. I mean, if they run away, but they'll die. The only thing, and so there's no merit in a child. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
The merit from God's standpoint is enduring till the end. Enduring, I mean, our test with regard to these children isn't now, because they're under the law, and the law is going to get rougher than they ever dreamed of. But our joy will come when they choose to become a part of us after they have a choice to leave. Now, that's really the only test, our test. I mean, the rest of the time, we're all a bunch of losers here. Well, we probably hang around because we really don't have a lot of choices. But they will have a whole world of choices. If they choose to stay, that's a big deal. That's discipline. Now, I know it's hard. It's hard for the parents because we've been brought up here in an environment of abandonment, the abandonment of self and pure grace, etc. But we forgot that what serveth the law, it serveth till the seed should appear, that those kids are under two. So we've got terrible, terrible children, really. I mean, you got to, everybody agree? From a discipline standpoint? It's going to take a long time to correct that. And there isn't any exceptions to it, by the way. You sort of think, okay, well, maybe somebody's nice. No, they're not. But if they endure, and then when they can leave, choose to stay, that's enduring. I'm going to read this.
Yeah, if any of them understand anything but an animal, unless they really understand what it means to hear under, that you're hearing under God.
Well, the other thing that I'm thinking about is that I can remember each one of you when I first came in contact with you. You were consumed with your own life. You were consumed with your own, in some case, what am I going to study in school? What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? The I was the total subject of your sentence. But as you've endured, without exception, there's less and less of the I and more of the they, or the other, or the... You understand? That's an incredible thing in itself. Now, some people, like Harry, they're still consumed with the eye.
By an eye, I think.
But just stop and think about your own experience, how you were consumed with some segment or some aspect of the isolated eye. And over the years, you found by experience that when that eye concern is in the equation, that there's misery. And by experience, you sort of learn to just throw it away, throw the eye away. I wonder if that's how they named it, Iowa, eye away. Probably in honor of...
We could ask Brian.
Probably, yeah.
Probably in honor of Brian. Bo Fox saw Brian this morning at the donut shop.
He goose?
Kick me in the
ass.
But the only test is in that process of enduring, in that process of becoming under discipline, is that you slowly but surely lose the I motive in your life. That's a biggie.
We were talking about, I don't know, I guess we're a little behind on the fever cycle. We're talking about where Hagar runs away from Sarah in what?
In the beginning.
They're further behind?
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord comes back to her and tells her to go and, you know, go back to her mistress and submit herself there.
Amen.
A wild thing, because I mean, she was having to go back and submit herself into what was probably a horrible situation, because it even says that Sarah, her mistress, treated her roughly or hardly. But it's like, even in that place, if she was to be without the eye motive, I mean, the circumstances don't matter. It's your judgments about the circumstances that are the problem.
Amen. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. Start in verse 20. Chapter 29, starting in verse 20. Remember, we're going to learn codes here. And some of these codes are pretty wild because, I mean, you never know, you can't possibly know what he's talking about in either in the New or the Old Testament unless you know what these codes mean. Like, you can't know the importance of Christ talking about eating his flesh or the peace be on you or the angels saying peace on earth, goodwill or these various things unless you know that everything that all those are code words for the peace offering, and you have to know what had to precede that in order for the peace offering to be manifested. You understand? So when we see those code words, we know that there was a whole world of activity that had to take place in those people's lives before they could get to that point. Okay, that's what we're talking about now. In 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah becomes the ruler, the king of, or the head of Israel. They spent a lot of time knocking down groves and beating up images and you know, all the stuff that we've done. And then it says, moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. They went to Hezekiah at the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table and all the vessels thereof. And the word, in the Hebrew language, the word that to make or to build these things or to prepare them is, in our language, it means to understand them. We have prepared the altar. We have cleansed the altar if we understand the altar. We have built the temple and built the altar if we understand the altar. We have opened the seals of the ark if we understand the ark. Understanding. Knowledge. We are a people that believe that blind faith is for idiots. We are a people who know that spiritual knowledge and faith are the same thing. We are a people that say, if you can't answer the question, you shouldn't be teaching. If there's some question that your child or your students are asking you, spiritually or otherwise, you shouldn't be a teacher. If you can't answer them, you know where to go to get the answer. I'm not saying we've got a lot. I mean, we are a people that demand understanding. Demand that you enter into understanding. And I'm the hardest taskmaster you will ever find in that arena. What?
There's just this great verse I remembered in Psalm 32. Says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee.
Amen. And also it says, look, they gathered the brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And we're in verse 15, on 16. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord, and all into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now you know something else the Levites are good for.
Taking out the garbage.
But that's what we have done all these years. We've gone into the house. We have cleansed it. You understand? You think we are just doing weird stuff when we do the high places or the lists or, oh no, not another one. But I promise you, if you want to see what moves me and what will move me in the future, you study Hezekiah. He's been my only role model. Just like, I mean, everything that we have done, we've had no role model for except Hezekiah. You understand that? Now they begin on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with the vessels thereof and the showbread table and all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priest received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. When they laid their hands upon them, they knew what was going on. When they could not have laid their hands upon them at this time with their understanding unless they had seen Jesus. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and with psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David. See, those Levites, they had Levites with rhythm.
We got rhythm.
Huh? You're right.
We got music. We could ask for anything
more. That's my problem, though.
Huh? You're responsible for him. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer. And Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priest with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Now listen. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Now come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. Now the sacrifice, the word sacrifice there and the thank offerings are the specific words for the peace offering that can only be made after all that other stuff was done. It can only be understood after all that other stuff was understood. The peace offering cannot be understood by a mind that confuses the sin offering with the trespass offering. The sin offering, the peace offering, cannot be understood by someone who doesn't see that there's just one temple. Because he will be trying to do it. They can't see that the warfare now is not against flesh and blood, therefore it's not against building anything, it's about entering the one reality, the one place, in order to make the last offering of the day. The peace offering. It's called many names, and we're going to see it here in a minute. It's called the sacrifice. It's called the thank offering. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings. Now, this is a different burnt offering word than it was earlier. This is a word for the burnt offering that talks about, and it's used, and we'll see it in a minute. That's exact, it's another word for another aspect of the peace offering.
Free heart.
As many as were of a free heart. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs, and all were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sacrificed themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. I was afraid we were going to read that.
Oh, I'm so glad you read that.
Thank you.
Oh, that just hurt. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance.
It says the Levites more upright.
With the fat of the peace offering and the drink offerings for every burnt offering, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people. And all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Now, it happened without any warning.
Nobody tried. Oh, all the free
things. All this stuff, this whole thing.
The whole chapter
was done suddenly, without expectation, without
liturgy.
Without liturgy.
What did these seer guys do back then?
And the seers? The seers are like they are in type, they are the people that we would call mystics, that would see the meaning, or what they did, they saw Christ in everything.
They were prophesied.
There was nothing, there was no activity, no matter how trivial, that for which they didn't see Messiah, is one of the things that's said about the seers.
That's true.
Just a little overall review. When the peace offering was done. As I said, there were only three times that it's ever done by law. The first one was at the Feast of Pentecost. The second one was at the completion of the Nazarite vow. And the third one was at the installation ceremony, or the ordination ceremony, of a priest. However, it's done voluntarily at other points.
When you said done by law, does that mean everybody had to do it?
You had to do it, right. The other public rituals that for which it was done at the inauguration of the Tent of Meeting. And that was the first time that they used the tabernacle. That's Leviticus 9. Let's look at it.
This has been quite a day.
Yeah. Starting in verse 5:15. Yeah. But it wasn't about a peace offering, but it was interesting. It was about Levites.
Ooh, a strange offering, strange fire.
Okay, Leviticus 9. Now, you gotta see if you can get this picture. In the history of the world up to this point, this is the first time that these peace, anything but the burnt offering, had been done. Remember, the burnt offering had been done in Egypt, and it had been done in Genesis, let's say. But there's never been a peace offering done before, and Aaron has never done an offering before. Okay, so this is like a big new thing going on here. So we're now in Leviticus 9. And it came to pass on the eighth day, again, the eighth day, the resurrection day, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take you a kid of the goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb both of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. See,
you know what? It's amazing to me where it says that today the Lord will appear in you, and then they drew near. And these are the same people that were back in the mountain, right? And these are the same people that couldn't even look at Moses. They asked him to cover his face, and the mountain shook and smoked, and he did all that stuff. And now they're drawing near. Mm. That amazes me. I would think that when he says today the Lord will appear unto you, they'd get scared.
It couldn't appear. It couldn't appear without fear until the tabernacle was completed. Once the tabernacle was completed, then God could make an appearance without fear, and they could draw near unto him.
Because they had come through.
That's right. All the words of Christ are connected. You got to hear this if you never hear anything else. They're connected only with coming from the door to the mercy seat.
So there.
No one, all this other bullshit that people give and say about Jesus Christ, it's total bullshit. He is only connected in the universe, and his whole plan is finished from his standpoint when he takes you from the door to the mercy seat. Everything in the New Testament is about going from the door to the mercy seat. Doesn't give a shit about anybody that's outside, mixed multitude. Doesn't care anybody that's interested bystanders. It only takes someone, picks up the cross at the door, accepts his death, and then he takes them. Jesus isn't your little guide in the world. Jesus isn't your little guy to make you do good stuff or bad stuff or indecent stuff or any stuff. He takes you from the door to the mercy seat.
It's like there's a connection with what we started out talking about with the domesticated animals. It's like only the domesticated animals could be at that point.
And that's what they are. They're not coming to the mountain that can be touched with smoke and quiet. They're coming to Zion.
Right. Understand? That's a big deal. All of you agree?
Yeah, it strikes me just how different our perception and what we've understood is from all the religious stuff going on in the world. It's just so...
Because we've taken it through the law.
Yeah. Then, if what we've been talking about over the last year... And here where it says, you know, it starts that you have to have a sin offering, and then it goes on through a peace offering, a meat offering, then the Lord will appear. And because, I mean, if this was a type of the thing of the truth that's here now.
Yeah.
And that thought always gets me, you know, it's probably less here than it does whenever I'm in teaching. You know, that's the opportunity, or that's, you know, what we're standing for, and that,
yeah,
that it's not far away from
us. Amen. Yeah, let's go on here. It gets better. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. I mean, it's like Moses, remember the guy that, the beggar and the beggar Lazarus and the rich man, and he says, you know, please let me go back or send somebody back and tell my brothers about this. And they said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, they would not hear even though a man is raised from the dead before them. You finally have to come to this understanding in you that we are not about anything that the world is about. Nothing. We are not about anything that the world's gods are about. We can mock them and laugh at them. We are about calling out of that mass of humanity, one of a city, two of a family, and bringing them unto Zion, and providing them with pastors that shall teach them after God's heart, not the heart of man. We have, you know, this has been a difficult trip for me. I mean, I think some of you that are teaching now can understand how difficult it really has been when we had not even any role model before. We are as Hezekiah was, and the things that they accomplished in Hezekiah, we shall accomplish 10,000 times more. Okay. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering, and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Now this is the first time this has ever been done before. Ever. Now, if you can hear this, it can only be done once. We have to participate in this first one, or we can never participate in anything. We must now be there as Aaron and Moses to see Christ as they saw Christ at that one single offering, because everything after that first time became a liturgy instead of a metaphor. You hear me? And Aaron, therefore, every time you see therefore in the Old Testament especially, it's neat. It's, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. Went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger into the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. They were seeing then that the inwards of everything, the inward actions of Jesus Christ were perfect, and that's why it was a sweet savor. And he could put them on the altar. And as you see him, then your inward actions are perfect. Aaron knew the inward actions were perfect because he saw Jesus. Now you, looking back from your perspective, see the inward offering at that one time and you see you're perfect. And then I've done my job because I've presented every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's faith. Faith isn't, as Gary said, isn't a noun that's as a commodity that you get used to buy stuff with. Faith is that mathematical moment that where it's that one, it's only one, there's only one, faith is only one nanosecond long, but it's the nanosecond that's at the edge of eternity. It never ends.
Yeah, it's wafer thin, but it extends.
Right. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar. And he did the other stuff, threw the other stuff outside the camp. That's what we're doing. All the other shit outside the camp. Now we can stand at the door and proceed to the altar.
Yeah, when you're saying that, I mean, Aaron must have been, he must have seen through to know what each one of those things were. He couldn't have,
amen.
It wouldn't have meant anything to put his fingers and touch the horns and burn the parts that he was burning.
It had just been some stupid little
shit. Amen. That wasn't him.
Now, right now, tonight, hear this, if you've never heard anything before. In this generation, I am acting in the capacity of Moses, and you are acting in the capacity of Aaron. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Now, you go. Now, therefore. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. By the way, you'd get crucified for saying that. That's what. You know, I always thought that I was never, the worst possible thing I could ever be, and I was a terrible, I could never be a salesman. But somebody reminded me the other day that I've talked some 60, 65 people into going for 100 days without sex.
In some cases, that's easy.
Including without masturbation.
That is sex.
Exercise.
We're going to, everybody, we need to have John write a song for Harry called Dining Alone. Winking in the dark.
Cold showers.
Gonna have to call Raphael to help you. Verse 12. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood. Now, Aaron's sons are the people in your Bible studies, which he sprinkled round about the altar, and they presented the burnt offering unto him, and the pieces thereof, and the head, and the burnt up, and burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash, and again, as they're presenting each, as they're taking, doing something with each section, they're apprehending more and more of Jesus Christ. You know that, we're talking blood. There's blood all over the place. There's smelly stuff. Nothing is at this point that's appealing to the flesh. The smell of burnt hair and burnt flesh.
They're not dealing, in their mind, they're not dealing with animals.
They're standing there watching Jesus Christ. They're dissecting him. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and he slew it. And he offered it for sin as at the first. And the people in the tabernacle, the people that were standing around, knew they were cleansed because they saw Jesus. And he brought the burnt offering and offered according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering and took a handful thereof and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt offering, sacrifice, the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings. Now, finally, they didn't get to participate in any of these. Now the peace offering, now they can eat the flesh. Now they can be sustained for the work of the ministry.
With everything spirit.
Amen. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. Now, from that, we've just gone through the whole history of the world. You understand? From the trespass offering, to the burnt, to the sin, now we're at the peace offering, thank offering, made from a free heart. with perfect understanding. A people presented perfect in Christ Jesus. The bride is being formed before us, before our eyes, with these people. And they are waiting. There are a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, waiting for our faith to be manifested. And the whole universe is groaning, waiting for that time. We see it. You can feel it when you go out in that stupid world. It's just groaning for its uselessness. And we make the world useful by our presence. That's the meaning of the peace offering. Without us, the world has no meaning, no purpose. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards, and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver, and they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. And the breasts of the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. Remember what that, remember the wave offering? That's part of the peace offering. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which went. When all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. That's enough.